It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Hey, welcome to the MMA show. I'm glad you're here. Now, I don't know what's going to be on the show. And I say that because I know what I want to say. But I don't know if that's what we will talk about on the show today. Last week, I started out talking about Rachel and Jacob, because I really feel like the story of Jacob and his sons is something that most people need to know about. See, his family is messed up. They're regular human beings. They're going to mess up. Their family is dysfunctional. Everything under the sun you can think of happens with this family, right? But out of this family comes the Messiah. And God uses messed up people all the time. Because if he didn't, nothing would happen, because we fall into imperfectness. We are humans. There's nothing perfect about us. By nature, we're evil because we live in this flesh that fell many years ago from the garden. And that fall brought sin into our lives, and we're forever in sin until Christ comes back or until we accept Jesus as our personal Savior to wash it away. So I'm not sure what's going to come out. I asked the Lord, I said, fill my mouth. As soon as I turn on the microphone, fill my mouth. And so whatever's going to happen, this show is going to be because God wants it broadcasted to you. Would you do me a favor right now? Can you pause this episode, screenshot it, and share it to your Instagram or your Facebook? And then on Instagram, you can tag me at AZLadyZ, AZLadyZ at the end. And then if you're on iTunes, if you could write a written review, that would be so great. This world that we're living in this time that I'm recording, is crazy. But I do know that I trust in a God who's still sovereign, who sits on the throne, that is in control of everything. What we are experiencing right now has nothing that surprises God. He has seen mankind from the beginning, and the things we're dealing with now are things we dealt with from the beginning of mankind. And at the end of the day, God always prevails and good always prevails. But he allows us to go through the hard times because it shapes us to be more heart-centered, more reliant on God, more dependent on God, and it teaches us lessons along the way. So everything that bad that comes across in our life is also changed, and the Bible promises that he's going to use it all for our good. So we're going to be strengthened somehow. We're going to learn a lesson somehow. I don't know. I've only been around for this generation, so I don't know what we're supposed to gain out of all this learning, quote unquote, we're going through. But you have this big paradigm of one side versus the other, and one side of the aisle seems to value things that God does not value, and then the other side of the aisle values more things that God values. And so it's a very yin yang kind of thing. It's very black and white, light versus darkness kind of thing. And so that's where we're at in this world today. But God is somehow going to be victorious over this. All my fears, I can just give it to God, and I know he's in control, and I know he sees the outcome, and I know we win at the end. I know that. He defeated Satan on the cross so many years ago, and God values every single life. And you know how I know that? Because there was a man that died on the cross and then rose 3 days later that says so. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes on him will not die but have everlasting life. He died for the world. He valued every single person. He created every single person. God loves every single person. And if I'm supposed to be a follower of God that loves every single person, then I too need to be loving people just like God loved. I need to love because God loved first. I can love. That's what scripture teaches us. because he loved me first. I can love him. In my Bible study that we were talking about, the patriarchs, where I'm trying to get to every week, but things have been derailed, we're going to talk about Genesis 29, and we're going to find out that Jacob met his future wife and how he was just adorned with this. But before I do that, I want to summarize a few verses that I think most people need to know right now. If you read Matthew 1, 22 through 23, verses 22 through 23, in summary, it says, God was always going to be with us no matter what. In Matthew 28, 19, verses 19 and 20, to sum up that scripture, it says, He is with us always, even until the end of the earth. And doesn't it kind of feel right now like the end is coming? Like, what? How can this be? How can police officers now be in a justified shooting, yet get fired instantaneous without due process and be charged with murder? Everybody in this country is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, not guilty till proven innocent. That's not how our world, our laws work in this country. And you take one right away, you start taking everybody's right away. John 14, 16 through 18 says, the Holy Spirit lives in us. This is just summing up. If I would read it to you, I could, but this is just summing up the scriptures. 2 Timothy 4:18. Now, this is the one I really love. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Somehow, some way, he's going to do that. One way or the other, he's not going to let his people fail. Over and over in the Bible, it shows how God came to their rescue. Now, it didn't always happen overnight. The Egyptians enslaved the Israelites for 400 years, and the people cried out to God for 400 years, and then he finally freed them. So the funny thing is, with the patriarchs, the story kind of is leading up to the slavery of the Egyptians. Slavery isn't something new. Slavery is something that happened from the beginning of time. Slavery will always be in existence somewhere in the world. It's part of being, it's an evil thing. Not that every slave owner is evil, but the fact that you can own someone, I just don't think that's a great, it's a good thing. I think owning someone is terrible. But let's read Genesis chapter 29, because, you know, if you really think about it, if you actually read the Bible, it's better than daytime or nighttime television. It has so much drama in it. If the Bible was a television show, it would be the most watched television show there is. So Genesis 29. Then Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the eastern peoples. There he saw a well in the open country with three flocks of sheep lying near it, because the flocks were watered from the well, and the stone over the mouth of the well was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob asked the shepherds, "My brothers, where are you from?" "We're from Haran," they replied. He said to them, "Do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson?" So this person is their relative, and he's trying to find this person. He says, "Yes, we know him," they answered. Then Jacob asked them, "Is he well?" They said, "Yes, and here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep." "So look," he said, the sun is still high, and it's not time for flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to pasture." "We can't," they replied, "until all the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we'll water the sheep." While he was standing talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherd. When Jacob saw Rachel's daughter of his uncle Laban and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Isn't that so cute? The thing I love about men when they get googly-eyed over a female is how they'll do anything to impress the female. And I love that. Now, that stone was heavy. It took shepherds to move that stone over the mouth of the well. But somehow, as soon as he saw this beautiful woman, he mustered up the strength to remove it. Isn't that something? Then, so back in the, you know, back in the Middle East, it's customary to kiss as a greeting. So then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He had told Rachel that he was a relative of her father's and the son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. And as soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. So he embraced him and kissed him and brought him into the home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." So Jacob marries Leah and Rachel. This is where the twist comes into play. And you're just like, are you serious right now? So after Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for free? Tell me how much I should pay you." So Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I will work for 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Here's where I don't understand. The guy was going to pay him and just like, "Hey, what do you want to charge me? You deserve to be compensated for your wages." Why the heck? Why the heck would he wait 7 years to marry the lady that he is so in love with? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. But that's how it was, and that's what the Bible says happened, so there we go. So Laban said, "It's better that I give you her to you than some other man, so stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, my time is complete, and I want to make love to her." Can you imagine, oh my gosh, saying that to the lady? The lady's father, I can't even imagine. Then Jacob said to Laban, so Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. Can you believe it? This is the twist. He thought he was marrying Rachel, but when the evening came, he took his daughter Leah. The dad took his daughter Leah, the one that had the lazy eye, and brought her to Jacob, the one that was not that attractive, and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. So he had someone watch over his daughter. When the morning came, there was Leah. So I'm guessing probably maybe there was alcohol involved. I don't know why he didn't know who he was making love to. I'm not really sure. But when the morning came, he saw that it was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served for Rachel. I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" So here we have twists and turns and plots going on. Jacob wanted to marry his daughter Rachel. She was gorgeous. He worked for 7 years. The father agreed and then did a switcheroo on him. And not only that, but he already slept with her. And back in those days, you don't sleep with women that aren't your wife. That's just, those women would have been thrown as like prostitutes. They would have been, no one would have married them. So Laban replied, "It's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. So finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." Oh my gosh. He had to wait 14 years to marry the woman that he wanted. So they finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave his daughter and Rachel to be his wife. And Laban gave his servant Bilhah to Rachel as her servant. And Jacob made love to Rachel also. And his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. So here's where I think is pretty messed up. The dad already knows that this man doesn't love his daughter Leah. Yet puts his daughter Leah in a situation where she's going to be the second best. because what he really wanted was Rachel. And as we continue on the story, we're going to hear how Leah feels so unloved. And it's not an easy place to be when your husband doesn't love you. But God heard her and gave her many children because he wanted to bring her some kind of comfort. And out of this deception of Leah and Rachel's father, there's going to be a lot of turmoil that comes into Rachel, Leah, and Jacob's household. Now, before I get into any of that stuff, just because it's in the Bible that there was multiple marriages, like the sister wives kind of thing, just because that's in here doesn't mean that was God's will. God only wanted mankind to marry one man to one woman. That was in the very beginning. God's the one who instituted marriage. Where do you think marriage came from? Mankind didn't come up with ideas on his own. Mankind has been given every idea from God. God performed the first marriage with Adam and Eve, and it was to be one wife and one woman, but sin comes into the world and lusts and different things like that, and suddenly you have one man with multiple wives. And when you do that, there's a lot of strife in your household. Lots of them. If you watch any of those sister wife shows where you have men with multiple women, there is nothing but stress. You cannot satisfy all those women because each woman is going to be jealous for your affection and they're going to feel bad about themselves because you're constantly leaving them for the next wife on a regular basis. So that serves nobody well in that situation. And so when you see this, there's going to be a divide in the household. He's going to favor some kids over the other. Why? Because he loves one wife more than he loves the other. And when you favor one kid over the other, there's so much jealousy that comes about. And so we're going to see this as we continue with our lessons. And we might can, but let's back up just a second, because I want to tell you how he got to this place to begin with, where he met his wives. So Jacob stole a blessing from his older brother. Actually, they were twins, but Esau was born minutes first, so he got the rights of the firstborn. He stole his blessing and he stole his birthright. So his birthright gave him his father's wealth, and then the blessing, well, is a blessing. And he stole that too. So he was very deceitful. His name means deceiver. Jacob means deceiver. And his mom was behind a lot of it too. She was no saint. And the mom caused a lot of issues between her two boys. But also the issues were a dad favored one, the mom favored another. You can't do that. That causes strife. There needs to be unity in the family. Each kid needs to know they're individually loved and cared for. When you start separating your love and the other kid feels and knows you love their sibling more than them, and in this case with Jacob, his wife is going to know, Leah's going to feel that, where she knows her husband doesn't really want to be married to her, only wanted Rachel to begin with, that's a horrible place to be. So on his journey, Jacob had a meeting with God directly. Isn't that something that's so cool? The people in the Bible had these direct messages from God. And I'm not going to say it doesn't happen today, because it does. And it's happened to me several times in my life when I was the lowest. It was healing from my third miscarriage. And it was trying to gain understanding when God took my uncle at 39 years old, who was battling cancer. And he spoke to me, and it's very clear when God speaks to you. And it doesn't happen all the time. It's not that I hear God's voice all the time, but God speaks when you need him to speak. He's going to guide you along, and he'll speak through your pastor. He'll speak through your friends. He'll speak through his music. He'll speak through reading scripture. But it's a different, when you have this one-on-one encounter with God where you can hear him, it's different. It's a different kind of, I wish I could explain it to you. When God wants you, is leading you down a path, like, you know it. You just know it in your soul because the Holy Spirit dwells within us and you just have this confirmation in your soul of where you need to be going, what you need to be doing, how you need to be living, things that you need to be starting and creating. But when there is like a specific message for you, you hear it clear as day. And if you've never experienced that, I hope someday you will. And if you're brave enough, I'm going to challenge you to ask the Lord to speak to you in the most profound way. And I'm doing that right now with my pastor because leadership's deciding if they're going to close again because of the virus or if they're going to remain open. It is my hope that they remain open because people like me who have been going through quite a bit of heavy things feel the most safe when they're at church. They have people they can pray with. They're right there in God's house. You know, his house is called the house of prayer, and we're right in the house of prayer every time I go to worship and the praise band starts praising God. I get chills. And I just know the Holy Spirit is like going up and down those aisles. And I imagine the face of God and what it would look like as I sit there and worship, that I just imagine heaven opening up and looking down on us as I sit and worship. It's the safest place I feel in a world of uncertainty. To be able to see people, we were made to be creatures, social creatures. We weren't made to be alone because God designed us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to be a people of relationships. And when you separate people, it does a very mental disservice to people. People can become suicidal. People get very depressed being away from people too long. And so I told my pastor, I hope God speaks to you so loud that you can't deny the direction that we're supposed to take as a church to stay open or close and just go online. I am trusting that God is going to speak to that man, and I trust that the man is going to make the best decision he can based on the information he has, and it's not an easy decision. I'm glad I'm not in leadership. But I said that because Jacob had such a profound experience that I didn't even go over with you. And when you have this one-on-one encounter with God, it's incredible. You know, with the times we're living in with uncertainty, we have a written guarantee that we can recheck as often as we need reassurance of, because we have the Holy Spirit residing in us as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So if you're scared right now with everything that's going on, and I'm kind of bouncing back and forth, I really want to get through this patriarch thing, but I just feel like there's times when you just need to know all you can do is just trust that God's going to protect you, God's going to lead you, and he wins at the end of the day. I know that was a rabbit trail. But I told you, I'm prepared one thing, but when the Holy Spirit leads, that's where I have to follow. Because it's not me trying to talk to you and make a difference. Like, I want to make a difference in your life. But nothing I say is going to make a difference in your life because I don't know what you're going through. So that's where you rely on the Holy Spirit to lead you to say something that's going to encourage someone, that's going to speak deeply to their hearts. I don't know if you're going through something with your marriage right now where you don't feel like your husband loves you. Or if you've gotten tricked by your spouse or someone in your family. Or if you're in a family where you got deceived, or one family member loves another family member more than you. I don't know if that's where you are at. But at the end of their story, this family story, the Messiah comes that saves the world, that puts value on everybody's life. Like I said in the beginning, there was a man who died and on a cross and was raised 3 days later that said, every life matters. But going back to the Jacob saga of Jacob with his two wives, we're going to learn how these servants that their father gave them is going to play a big part in their family story. And I think I'll just stop there for now. And we'll pick it up with the kids, because this is where it gets kind of interesting. You know, God raises up leaders for the times that he needs certain people with certain skills. And all we can do is pray for the people in leadership. And I'm glad for some of the leadership that we have in this world right now. I'm glad for our pastor leaderships, our church leaderships. I'm glad for governors who are really trying their best to lead their states. I'm proud of people in leadership right now that are doing the best they can to make hard decisions. And aren't you glad you don't have to be one of those people that make hard decisions? Because I know I am. So just want to encourage you, you know, right now I've been using my essential oils quite a bit for the stress, for emotional support. If that's something that you could use, then I'm going to put my website, infoonoils.com. Stress Away is like my go-to. White Angelica is another one I've been using. And I just imagine two angels just sitting on my shoulders or sitting around me and just embracing me and holding me close when I smell that scent. It's just the image that I get. And I think that's why I like that scent so much, is because I just picture, with the chaos of everything, and when there is chaos and when there's uncertainty and I don't know how the end game is going to go, and having those angels around me, it just makes me feel safe. It just does. So I'll put the link, infoonoils.com, that's on the website. Hey, I'm also doing a 28 days to a healthier you challenge, and I'll put the link in my video, or you can check it out on my YouTube channel. You can find me on YouTube at AZ Lady Z, the 28 days to a healthier you. You're gonna, it's a weight loss protocol, it's a mental health protocol. We're gonna learn about nutrition, we're gonna learn about why it's important to move our bodies. So if that's of interest to you, if you don't love who you are, like Leah did not love her appearance, and it probably made her feel less than. If you don't love who you are, you need to get into the 28-day challenge to a healthier you. But if you just want to be healthier overall, you need to get in that challenge. Well, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.